This is Overdrive.
Oh, what a hit that was! Nazem Kadri slams into his man there, and he sent Orpik flying.
Shut up and drive.
With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final half hour. It's an abbreviated hour for the boys here on Overdrive because we got the pregame of the Leafs-Caps tonight on TSN Radio. That's going off in about 30 minutes. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, around the table. And the hockey insider is brought to you by Finance It. The crowd is here for Pierre. These people were not here before, and LeBrun shows up, and they are fired up.
It actually thinned out when I got on.
Well, here's the truth. Wendell is going to be here in about 10, 15
minutes. Now you're talking.
That gets people going.
Wendell Clark will be around, and we're looking forward to catching up with him.
Absolutely.
He's the man in the city, right?
He's
going to be excited about the game tonight. You can feel it. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Maybe because it was the first home game on Monday, and it was a holiday for some people.
Right.
It was a beautiful day on Monday. When I walked in here around 3 o'clock, it felt bigger.
It
felt as if, like, the patios were rocking. There were people already out there.
Yeah.
And today I didn't notice that at 3 o'clock, but to be fair, I haven't been outside in the past few hours,
right.
And we're looking out behind us at Maple Leaf Square, and it is rocking.
Jammed as usual.
But don't you think, too, bigger picture, what you're feeling from Leaf fans, and most of my friends are Leaf fans, is the opportunity that's in front of them for the next few years.
Yeah.
I think that's fueling a lot of the passion right now. It's not just the opportunity at hand, and who knows how this plays out with you know, the powerhouse Washington Capitals. But the future, when in the last 40 years as a Leafs fan can you say that you felt this way in this very moment about the organization? Seriously.
Not once. Not once, because you're right. I mean, this is different than even opening night where you felt good about where they were going. But now they've played 82 games, 95 points they're in. And then furthermore, it's different today than it was even before game one.
It's different than 2 months ago, I would argue.
Right.
Then honestly, though,
no,
but different than 6 days ago. Like, when they were coming into this series, it was, hey, get your experience. Hopefully it goes five or six. And now they go to three straight overtimes. They win two of them. I do think the style in which they've won, the fact that it's gone to overtime, both of their wins in all three games, has also just sparked people. Like, you were in the building for game three. We were both in there. If the Leafs won 4-0 with 2 minutes to go, people would be clearing out. And it would feel different walking outside. They might still be outside partying, but because they went in overtime, 19,000 people are still in the building.
Yeah.
You couldn't walk. You got into the concourse, and people were going bananas and the Go Leaf Go chants. And, you know, the fact that they won two and both in overtime against this team, and they're defying the odds, I think goes a long way in terms of the passion we're seeing right now.
I would argue this is the most excited this market's been for this team since 93. And for whatever reason, you know, no one ever talks about 94. You know, we're going to have Wendell on. We can talk about that. But 93 just has more nostalgia about it.
Right.
You know, Gilmore's first playoff ride and everything that happened, his goal on Cujo in double overtime. I know it's only 6 days.
Right.
But this has the potential to be that. You feel that. Now, this team's not nearly as ready as that team to make a run. We know that. But still, just in terms of the pure level of sheer excitement that you sense around the city here.
And I think you can scratch off a lot of similarities.
Right.
Burns, Babcock. Podfan was a coming out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Freddie Anderson. I don't know if this is a coming out. He had, you know, some pretty good numbers in Anaheim and has played in a lot of playoff. He's played really well through three games.
On a stage like this, though,
in Toronto. There's
a
big difference between doing it in Anaheim, like off-Broadway, and doing it on Broadway the way that he's doing it here.
Right.
And I think you're probably right. I mean, because of how much it caught everyone off guard, right? Going into that 93 season, I don't think people were sitting there saying, this is going to happen, because they have been brutal for so many years.
And who had them beating Detroit? Seriously, looking back. I know everyone likes to pretend.
After losing the first two games of the Joe well, right? They lost the first two games, and then they came back and got back into the series. So there are a lot of parallels. I think the expectations are all of a sudden they might be able to win this series. I have it at 50-50 now. I didn't have it like that before the series. But now, Pierre, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington wins. I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto wins.
Right.
And that's what's changed over three games.
I'm curious to see. It was hard to tell this morning. I was in the Leafs room. It was a little more businesslike than I have seen so far from this group. So until today, it was the happy-go-lucky boys, and you know, the boys that no one gave a chance to. I mean, Sunday, I think I've told you the story, but Sunday I walked in the Air Canada Center on the off day when the series shifted from Washington, and I walked in and I got startled by Tyler Bozak. He was hiding behind a corner. He wasn't waiting for me. He was waiting for Leo Komarov to walk in, and he wanted to startle him.
Yeah.
Like, those are two of the veterans on the team. They're pranking each other. They just won an overtime in Washington. And I said to myself, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
They're enjoying
these guys
it.
Are
they're,
just...
Yeah, they're loose.
But I will say, I thought this morning, and maybe it's anecdotal, mm-hmm. but I love sort of reading body language and demeanor. I thought it was a little more businesslike in that Leafs room. Like, suddenly...
They
this
realize
what
this
is real.
This is real.
That,
right? Well, and that's another
I
thing.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. That's another thing we said earlier, that like Noodles is a believer. Whoever wins tonight is going to win the series. That this is the swing game for him.
I think this is a swing game. I think it's a statement game from either organization. That's the way I feel. But it's not the in realistic thought process. It's not the truth. It's just
well, anything could technically happen.
Right.
But what I would say is, this swings pressure to the Maple Leafs if they win tonight.
Correct.
Because they have been able to feed this media beast with the idea that they've already won. The fact that they're here, it's all on Washington, 100% of the pressure's on Washington, right. And I don't think that's ever going to stop. The pressure will be on Washington until they win a Stanley Cup.
Right.
But the Leafs have been able to convince themselves, the media, the fans, that, hey, we're playing with house money right now.
Right.
You go up 3-1, you can't supply that anymore. You go up 3-1, you got to close. You got to win. The expectations,
it leads
to people saying you got to win.
And every great player has always told me this. The greatest pressure comes internally.
Right.
And in fact, I think that's happening with the Capitals. We talked about this on Leafs Lunch, but I think a team that knows that it will no longer be the team that it is now after this year, even if they win the Cup.
Right,
a lot of
right.
guys are leaving that team.
Yeah.
I think that introduces an internal pressure. But for the Leafs, I think the internal pressure starts to build when you get greedy and you realize, I know it's already crazy we're this far,
yeah.
but now we can taste it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, never mind what we think and what the fans think, I think internally in a dressing room, and you've lived this, there builds that peer pressure within your room of wanting to do it for the other guy across from you. And that's a pressure. It's a healthy one normally, but it can work two ways.
It's interesting you said being around the room, and I think the deeper that they go or even deeper into this series, you're right, they're starting to realize, like there's been a couple, I think, light go on moments for this young Leafs team. Took Washington to overtime in the first game, and they're like, all right, this is the puck's still the same size, the ice is still the same size.
Right.
Like there's a lot of things that you need to kind of get that first out. The next game, we were all saying, all right, well, Washington's going to wake up and the Leafs. But that's not the case. They go and win. They hang in there, and they win that game, and then they come home and win a game. I think there's that belief as it starts to build. Now you're looking at guys around the room and saying, you know what, we got a chance here. We're in good shape here. Like that's and that pressure comes putting them on themselves, not out here and not around the city.
Right,
they
right.
feel that pressure, but it is internal.
And who knows if Washington goes all San Jose on the Leafs tonight. It may be. But I'll tell you this, and I think this is why if you're the Washington Capitals, you're a little nervous to some degree, is that the Capitals did try to go all San Jose on Toronto in the first 25 minutes of that game in Game 3.
Yeah.
They tilted the ice big time on Toronto
mm-hmm.
and did not deliver the knockout punch. And the Leafs dictated the rest of that entire game,
yep.
dominated the third period against the best team in hockey on paper. I'm just saying, that's not... It wasn't the Leafs just taking advantage of Washington crumbling. It was the Leafs deciding who was going to win that night.
Right.
And I think that's an important point to make.
I think you're spot on. And we got the game tonight right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop in about an hour. We've got Wendell Clark joining us around
yes.
the table. You're getting pulled left, right, and center. Well, thanks for finding some time for us.
I couldn't find you guys. It's in the fitness section.
Yeah.
we don't hang out here.
You're shocked to find me there, aren't you, Wendell?
It's tough. I'm looking in the wrong section.
Yeah. You should have been in the kitchen at Real Sports.
let me just say, Wendell and I have played golf together before. He knows I'm not an athlete.
Okay? Believe me. And he's placed eyes on me, so he's well aware of my whole situation. Noodles is a different beast.
Well, we played together on the island.
That's right.
Feels like 100 years
100,
ago.
It does.
But
that
it wasn't that long
flies.
Ago.
Does it feel like it's been 100 years since you felt this atmosphere in this city surrounding
this
team?
Yeah, no. Like you get back to the playoffs, and this really every playoffs is kind of like this. And it's been so far and few between. You forget how good the city is. And it's when the team's winning and you're playing in April, there's no better spot to be than a warm day starting in April and playing as long as you can. And the crowds and the energy are unbelievable here.
it really is something we've missed here for quite some time. I mean, there's nothing like playoff games, especially considering the schedule is set up. It's old school. It's like what you used to do. Every second night they're playing.
Yep.
There hasn't been a two-day layoff. And I think, in a way, that probably benefits a younger team in the Maple Leafs. They haven't been able to – like, imagine they had today off too.
Right.
And their tires have been pumped the past couple of days. They're up 2-1. Mm-hmm. People are excited. You know, the fact that they're playing every second night, do you think that maybe helps the Maple Leafs?
I love playoffs because it's every second night. No more practicing. No more listening to the coach doing down and backs. It's really just get ready to play your 15 to 20 minutes every 2 days.
Right.
And that's – if you're in a groove, that's kind of a perfect tempo to be in. You get enough energy with the rest, and then you're back at it playing again. And so it's just keep playing. You want to keep playing.
We were talking about before you came on the level of pressure internally that guys put on each other. Pierre was talking about after they had the split in Washington, the guys were still loose, having some fun. A little bit more workmanlike attitude today. Outside of the circus, we all know the fishbowl and everybody gets excited outside. Internally, do you feel that these young kids are maybe going to start to realize, hey, we're in something here, and that pressure is going to be put on themselves by basically their expectations?
I think maybe down the road, but I don't think yet. I think they're so young, it's so fun. Like, they're all together. Like, there's a group of them, there's 7 to 9 of them, and they've got such a great energy. They feed off each other, and then the older guys fill in, and they're giving them energy. So it's it probably all depends how tonight goes. Like, halfway through the game, this okay now, because they're going to meet, you know, the first overall team. There is going to be pushback. There is going to be something. Yeah. You don't finish first overall for nothing, and that's where our guys will feel that. Like, Edmonton felt it. Okay, these guys are going to come back. So it's that's kind of happened tonight, and you know what it's like. The hardest wins to get are the 3 and 4.
Yeah.
You all of a sudden you've got the team with their back against the wall. They're the hardest closeout is that fourth win.
We were talking about 93, and you guys were a more veteran team, certainly, but you were certainly the underdog against Detroit in that first round. And you lose the first two before coming back. What's it like in that kind of series when you start to you probably knew before the series you had a chance, but the confidence still grows at some point in that kind of series, right?
Yeah, it's something where we lost the first two games. I don't know, it was 7-2 and 8-3 or something. Like, they were big scores. So coming home, that first win at home was the difference. And people are always, and it's usually coming from the fans and the media because they have to talk about it for 24 hours. But as a player, you don't care if you win by a goal or win by seven or lose by one or lose by seven. A loss is a loss and a win's a win. So those two big losses, because every game in that series we either won by a goal or overtime, and every game we lost in that series we lost by 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
So if we felt bad, too bad after every loss, we would never have won. So that's really how the players, you really break it down. It goes from an 80 game season to one game at a time, and it really makes a difference each game.
Wendell Clark joining us around the table. We were talking about maybe how the old school game would have approached a 7-0 victory like the one we saw last night, San Jose versus Edmonton. It was almost as if both teams in the third, including Edmonton, when they're down 7-0, said, check, please get us on the plane.
Right.
Back in the late 80s, you're down 7-0 going into the third. How does that game play out?
You've seen it game one in L.A. Marty coming across with a high hit on Dougie.
Right.
I can't remember, the score was 4-1.
4-1, I think.
I don't know the exact score, but they knew they were done. Marty's going, we're not done as far as the series goes, and that all of a sudden he hits Dougie like that at the blue line, you know, that not in a, you know, in a tough mean way. The playoffs are great because you get to hit everybody a little harder, you get to slash everybody a little harder, you get to do everything. And there's no call, and those are the same. You're going to try to send messages that you're not done. We're not going to roll over, even though you got this one, we're here for tomorrow. And that's what you tried to send a little bit back then, where today you don't really have the lineups built like that anymore because your fourth line's almost as good as your first line now.
Right.
And so you don't have that type of player anymore.
Although a lot of the guys doing the fighting in that series were all really good players.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, that was an era where there were enforcers, but certainly not in that series. Really.
People forget there was a second fight that no one ever references. I think it was Todd Gill, and I want to say, I can't remember who was on the Kings.
No, you're right. I think it was Giller, and
maybe Taylor or something. There was another fight, and everyone's like, get the hell out of here. Like, Wendell and Marty are fighting. Like, Bob Cole and Harry Neal didn't even acknowledge the other fight. They're just like, we got two guys here that are going at it. And did you feel, because Did you feel you knew what Marty was doing there? Like you knew he was sending a message?
No, I just have. I've seen Dougie Downs. The whole playoff series is kind of a buildup. You don't know how coaches build teams to get ready. When we played the Detroit series, our whole play, again, and I was called in by Bernsey and said, you will not fight Probert ever.
Yeah.
So we were losing 5-2, 7-2, 8-3.
Need you scoring goals.
So the media was going, what are you doing? You're not doing anything. Yeah. I was told not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then when Marty did that, I wasn't told anything about that one. So that was a different, but that you know, there's a whole game plans that coaches have that set up that the teams follow. So the Detroit never really got that way because he didn't want it to get with those guys doing that, where that was kind of a surprise. And how it broke out, and probably the emotion of the building and the game, and Marty and Dougie at that time was probably the best player in the game. The way he had played in 92, 93, I don't know if there was a better player that year in the game. So
I was chatting with Leo Komarov this morning and about how he got in Ovechkin's face in game three, and that's what he wants to do in this series. Now, of course, off the ice, they're very good friends. They played together during the lockout and have a lot of respect for each other.
Well, that line reminds me, now they've got more skill to put points in, but the Kadri line reminds me of the Berg, Zezel, and Ozzie line, where they're none of them really fight, but they're in everybody's face. They're antagonistic. They just try to throw you off, and they're smiling at you the matter you get at them. They're playing their roles, and I'm watching those guys. That was kind of what down to nothing. That line with what they do, because it's another kind of energy that it brings to the team when the building gets going with a couple of hits and in-your-face stuff, and that gets your team going, even though it's not a goal or an assist. It gets the whole bench going because the building gets going because they see the effort that line's putting out.
But what Komarov said, going back to your point about, you know, Pat Burns had told you not to do something, Komarov said, because I noticed that every time Komarov's in Ovechkin's face, Ovechkin kind of turns away. He wants no part of the gamesmanship or the trash talking. And Leo said, he's probably been told not to talk to me. And he might be right.
There's all kinds of little things that come in playoffs when you get to play a series. The biggest difference between regular season and series is you get to see that same guy, and it might be the same line for seven games.
Right.
And so it's all those little things come into play, and the refs give you a little more rope than you would in the regular season.
Game four tonight, puck drop in about an hour on TSN 1050. Wendell, we always love seeing you, man. Thanks for popping by.
Awesome.
And if you see Dark Guy, tell him we say hello.
we'll run into him down there.
Oh, yeah, big time. There's the great Wendell Clark. We always appreciate you joining us. And I know you got to run. I think you got another interview. You're
doing running around.
They're pulling you around, man.
I got to check all the hot dogs and stuff before we get in there.
That's what you should be doing. And that's where we're going next, believe
me. Exactly.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks, good guys. Seeing you. There's Wendell Clark.
See you, Wendell.
One of our favorites. Yeah. And I love that story. He's like, Burns told me no dice with Probert, but he didn't say anything about McSorley. Yeah. Imagine fighting Marty McSorley.
That's a takeout where Marty's a top four defenseman on that team, right? So that's okay. You can live with that. I mean,
but that was those were when I played with Wendell. We were on the Islanders and we stunk, but he was still a legendary player near the end of his career, and we got dummied in L.A. one night, and he fought Marty, and that was I think he fought him twice. It was two of the greatest fights I've ever seen. And he leaves a lot of weight and height on the table fighting Marty McSorley. And those were unreal bouts.
Well, that fight in game one of that semifinal, Clark hit – I can't believe McSorley kept fighting. Like, Wendell hit McSorley with two bombs.
As flush as you can. I'm just going to use the same word.
Flush off the face. And not only did he keep fighting, he got back, and it was an even fight by the end.
Yeah.
Like, he hit Wendell a couple times to the point where you'd walk away and say, I got the scorecard, like, basically tied. Where that breaks anyone else's face 15 different ways.
And it's interesting to watch Wendell Clark walk around these parts, a legend for life. Him and Gilmore, Sundin, we're seeing the next generation now, you know, with Matthews and Marner and Nylander and these guys. I remember being at Maple Leaf Gardens when the Leafs reacquired Wendell Clark from the New York Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
His first shift, and the Gardens, not here.
Yeah,
the Maple Leaf Gardens, that's how old I am. I'm in the press box. Wendell's on the ice, comes down the left wing, is against the Dallas Stars, hits the post on his first shot back as a Leaf, and the building shook.
Really?
The computer on the table and the gondola in the Maple Leaf Gardens was literally vibrating from Wendell's first shift back. There are just certain players that touch a nerve in a franchise, and he's one of them.
One of the coolest YouTube clips, you can find them out there, is when he comes onto the ice to start the game. The place is going nuts, and I think he's the last one out or close to it. You know how he skated? He's got the jaunt, and everyone's going nuts, and he scored like a shift or two later, too.
He
scored
later,
in the first period, and place went absolutely bananas. So we appreciate Wendell popping by. Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Visit TSN1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. Pre-game in about 10 minutes, puck drop in about 40, 50 minutes. Game four tonight. You can feel it outside. You can feel it up here.
Electric.
This is a big game. There's no question about that. I mean, we don't have to sell it to anybody. It's a swing game tonight, one way or the other.
I was chatting with Brian Boyle this morning about, you know, because Babcock himself brought it up unsolicited, right? The San Jose Edmonton teaching moment. And Brian Boyle said, I think we already had ours against Tampa Bay. Late in the regular season, the Leafs can clinch a playoff spot. Heck, if they win that night, they probably don't even play Washington. They probably play Ottawa in the first round. Right. But they lay an egg. They get handled by a beat-up, beleaguered Tampa team. And as Brian said, desperation level was way higher for the Lightning that night. And he said he feels like that was a moment for them.
Well, you just referenced teaching moments and learning lessons for as young players along the way. I think watching Edmonton probably laying on your couch last night is would help the Leafs tonight because they don't want that to be them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there going, okay, I know I'm going to be in for one here in game four. I better be on my game. And I guaranteed, Edmonton going into the Shark Tank, they didn't sit there and go, well, this could be, we better be ready for one. We're going to be on one. Like, you go in expecting to win.
Right.
These young kids, at least, almost like Babcock said, that second day of the playoffs, you could see kind of how it
was.
Yeah, game four for Edmonton San Jose may have helped the Leafs for tonight's game.
He brought that up today, right?
Like on his own, which is interesting.
On his own, he brought it up. I hope you were watching what happened last night because Washington is as talented, if not more talented, than San Jose. The difference is they're on the road, right? They have the Shark Tank rocking last night.
Although
that won't be the case tonight.
San Jose got to the Cup final last year.
They did.
Just saying.
So more playoff recent experience. Anyway, you're absolutely right.
See this? Draisaitl got fined.
He got fined instead of suspended.
Tweeted it out, so I believe Gino.
Yeah, I think Gino's probably got
beside his name.
He's got the hot takes. That's big for Edmonton because he's got to get going, man.
Draisaitl's
really got to get going.
He's nicked up. He's banged. You can tell something's not right with Draisaitl.
Quickly, time now for a best bets brought to you by ProLine. No numbers here, but I'm just looking at the games. I think Boston ties it up tonight. Minnesota survives tonight. I know earlier on Jerry's. I know.
I hear you.
And I'll take Anaheim tonight. I think they end up sweeping. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs Caps, pregame in about 10 minutes with the tap man. Yes guy, no guy. I'm going to head upstairs and catch up with him. And we got the game tonight right here on TSN1050. Puck drop in just under an hour. Should be a blast.
It'll be a great one tonight. The excitement, you see Maple Leaf Square, the fans all out in blue.
Let's get hopping tonight.
Should be good.
Pierre, thanks for doing this, buddy.
Anytime. You guys pay me for this?
Whatever you want, man.
Whatever you want. Free chicken fingers and fries.
There you go. Pierre LeBrun,
exactly
our hockey insider. We're out of here. Enjoy the game tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.